Yeah, good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, it's 2 days early, this conference. Otherwise, I could give us our results, which I can't. But I maybe can give you some insights on important things which matter to you. So in terms of pricing and trading environment, I mean, you probably know that much better than I do, but we see it as well. The property market is probably in a stage in terms of pricing and conditions, terms and conditions, which we never have seen before. Yeah, so even though that we all, you know, were really worried about Ian, but it had positive effects. Yeah, it really raised much needed rate rises, and I think pushed back the push selling approach for many broking firms in the US, which I think is utterly needed. And we also do see quite a significant amount of growth in all property classes, so reinsurance and direct property classes, which is understandable because this current price environment attracts new capital and you find new capital. So that is, I think, message number one I wanted to tell you. The sad part of the story is casualty is becoming really a worry, I have to say that. U.S. general liability is soft, and I don't want to even try to explain what D&O is, because I couldn't do that without using rude words. Yeah, if you look at the triangles of D&O, there's no way you can give it a rebate on the last year's pricing, but people do. So there is really a worrying in these places. So cyber is pretty much okay, not rising anymore, but we believe the prices are somewhat satisfying, and that's the reason why we worked this year much more on the terms and conditions, in particularly the war exclusion. And then in speciality, you see in the war covers, for obvious reasons, good rate strengthenings, but I'm afraid that's by far not adequate, depending what comes out of Ukraine, to be very fair. So, but I think the ILS market, unfortunately, is so far very active in the property market. And of course, our intention is to extend the ILS market also into other classes of business, into long classes of business. The good news are, for people who are in the ILS market, people are looking for capacity in the Lloyd's market. We know this from discussions. This is with me, my chaperon, that I don't say the wrong thing. We have a nice full pipeline at London Bridge 2, which indicates people are really looking actively for capital. And I would think by end of the year, we will have collected another 500 to 1.2 billion via London Bridge 2. So I think really from the underwriting side, there is demand for having this type of capital available, which is good. Sorry, my page was flipped over. So we have worked on London Bridge 2, what we promised we would do. Yeah, so we are hopeful that we launch the first cat bond via London Bridge. Yeah, I'm happy to accept any second, third, fourth cat bond. So if people are willing to do this, DES will look after you. We will also go through the first early reinsurance to close transaction, which I announced probably half a year. Let me explain this. People always criticize us that the capital is so long locked in at Lloyd's. I think that's not entirely true if you find the right structure. Yeah, there's nothing in our reinsurance to close mechanism which stops you to reinsurance to close your book before the underwriting year ends. So what does this mean? If you, let's say you run a cat book and you, after the cat season, you go through a reinsurance to close process, you have a new syndicate taking on the runoff risk of that book, we can release capital early. So the old problem that investors are locked in for 3 years, I believe it is in the choice of the managing agent, and it's not prohibited by our framework. Yeah, it is always interesting why that was never figured out, but now it is figured out, and I believe by end of the year we have the first transaction which proves that even this comment on Lloyd's is taken away. Yeah, we will see the first XL transaction in London Bridge 2. I knock on wood that it goes through. Yeah, so far we haven't seen this, that you can basically have a stop loss, not only a quota share contract, you can, and we hopefully will demonstrate this. So and then I wanted to make some comment on our investment platform, because that is important for ILS investors as well, because the sell funds can be also put on the Lloyd's investment platform. And I believe the huge advantage of the investment platform is that we will create four funds throughout the year. So we have created already one, the impact fund. We will create a private debt fund in September, and we will create two core asset mandates by end of the year. The advantage of these investment vehicles are they're all fully fungible in the chain of security. And I think that gives a much better return to your investors, to the ILS investors, because you can go into assets with a higher return, and if you need to move them through the chain of security, you can. Yeah, and I think that is really an advantage which we never had before. Yeah. So, and that is really important. For example, when a member decides we go into a private credit fund, yeah, if then a cash call comes, this fund assets can move into the premium trust funds and the other way around. On top of this, these funds will generate a much higher return than you normally can achieve, because we found in particular in Canada and the US new ways to deal with the cash we're holding there. The Canadian fund, which will be hopefully go live by end of the year, will create 150 basis points more return than the market achieves in average in Canada. Yeah, and the US fund for liquid assets will generate more than 50 basis points more return. And I think that is really important that we open this up to all investors, and everybody who works in the Lloyd's environment can use this, and I believe that is utterly important. So, second last point I want to make, there is a great study out there. There are actually two great studies out there. One is from Peel Hunt, and I think this is the first proper analysis carried out how big the size of the London market is. And that is important to see the dominance of Lloyd. And according to that study, we run something like 55 billion premium, which I know. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, but what I didn't know is how big is really the relevant market of our peers. And the next biggest player has 38 billion. Yeah, and that's not the London market. That's just Lloyd's. It just shows how big Lloyd's, how big the London market is, and that's really important. The second one is there's a comparison done by one of our managing agencies comparing all different type of structures and look at the efficiency in terms of cost of capital. Yeah, so you can take collateralized RE, you can take, I don't know, whatever structures you can find in Bermuda and Guernsey. And our return on capital is twice as high on the same transaction than in any other market. And I believe that is utterly attractive to investors, because you can reach returns at par, which are quite easily meeting the hurdle requirements from private equity funds with this type of mechanism. So why is our cost of capital stack So low, and I believe there are three reasons. One, everybody knows, because we do accept LOCs. So you can host, or you can give us at least 50%. I come to LOCs on my last comment. Yeah. LOCs from well-reviewed banks and well-reviewed counterparties, to be very precise. And you know, cost of capital is much lower on LOCs than on your own capital. But that's only number one. Number two is that our uplift is only 35% on risk capital. If you compare this, I don't know, Swiss Re has now 280, Munich Re 220. That is significantly lower than what you see in the normal insurance industry. So, and last but not least, we collateralize 1 in 200, not 1 in 1,000, like in most of the places in the world. Yeah, and hopefully you find that attractive. I don't think you find any better deal somewhere else. So, and then my last remark, and I know you should never close on a negative point, but I think I have to say that the whole Vesto stuff is not helpful at all. I just have to say this. It just shows, again, an industry which is stupid. Yeah, it's that simple. And honestly, on securitized vehicles, just to have LOCs in there, it's not my cup of tea. I just want, because I think you need to have, we do accept LOCs, but out of 40 billion, we have 7. Yeah, and we have a huge process verifying the LOCs. Yeah, and verifying the counterparties of the LOCs, the bank and the one who was basically giving us the LOCs. We all have done that. And that you then end up in a situation where there are suddenly cells in the world taking on reinsurance risk. All capital they have is a falsified LOC. This is not helpful, I have to say that. Yeah, and as an industry, we really must be more diligent and not following any stupid idea people have. And this is fraud, or that was fraud, and I'm pretty sure regulators will react to that. Yeah, across the globe. Yeah, and I mean, in the UK, I'm saying that quite clear, in the UK ILS regime, you cannot accept anything else in securities and cash. Paper is print at the end, not more. Yeah. So I think that is really where I think we all should think about this. Yeah, with all need for having higher returns, but we have to stay reasonable. And this time again, once again, we got caught with very stupid transactions. So that would be it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we going to have early releases, unfreezing capital? Secondly, what are we doing in Lloyd's with crypto? What's the proposals?
I didn't get the second one.
I didn't get the second
one. Crypto.
I was crypto. All right. Good. Early releases, I don't think we get there. But you can have an early reinsurance to close process. That's really up to the managing agent. Yeah. But you need to find a counterparty. But we cannot change our distribution framework that quickly. And there are a lot of tax implications with three-year accounting. And I will believe we will never get consent on this one. So on crypto, I just have to say, crypto is volatile. So where is the Bitcoin in the moment? It has a volatility of what?
Very low, very, compared to historical.
It's very low, but the volatility is very high.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem of cryptocurrency, the volatility. How many cash calls do you want to have per day? Yeah? That is just a question. Yeah? And that's the reason why I cannot envisage any cryptocurrencies as capital.
Makes perfect sense. So you spoke about the pipeline for London Bridge 2, and you said between 500 and 1.2 billion. What sort of use cases are you getting from people? Are they largely on the quota share side, or are you beginning to see a greater diversity in what the market is asking for from the structure?
There's mostly quota shares so far, but one XL transaction.
Great.
Yeah, and I would like to see more.
Absolutely. I'm sure the industry would like to see more as well. And then on those, are you seeing these across multiple lines, or are they still largely in the property catastrophe?
I think it's property, mostly property catastrophe. We still have not yet seen any big push to bring casualty in ILS. What we have seen is a huge amount of runoff deals, of LPT deals last year, and I just wonder how long it takes that the first one really comes up with a casualty idea where you can relieve capital by an ILS structure without going through an LPT transaction, because I think economically that should be interesting.
And where do you see the sort of the need for capital that the ILS market can provide? Because obviously Lloyd's is a very well-capitalized marketplace. A lot of the players there are very well-capitalized. But where do you see the need developing over time for more?
Well, I can just hearsay. Yeah. Well, I hear. Yeah. Without any proof. Yeah. What I hear is that basically anyone who writes in the U.S. has not enough capital to write. That's what I, and that is across not only the ILS market, that's across the insurance market. Capital on property underwriting is really a scarce resource in the moment. And that's the reason why everybody, when they can find capital, they grab the capital.
Yes, there certainly appears to be a bit of an issue in some of the sort of smaller and regional players in the US.
But it was always. You mean these fronting companies?
No.
They call themselves insurance companies, but they only hold 10%, right? But okay. No, but not only, even the big players, you see, it's not that easy because there haven't been large issuance of capital. Mm. Yeah, and many people got really upset and left the market last year. And I think this gap has not yet been filled.
No, absolutely. There's definitely a need for more capital to flow there. On your investment platform, it's very interesting that you would encourage ILS investors to sort of deploy into the funds you create there as well. Perhaps you could talk a little bit more about the chain of security and how you guarantee the collateral is there when the events occur and it's required, and how quickly it can be dispersed out of those investment platform funds and into making reinsurance payments.
Yeah, so how that technically works. So let's say a London Bridge cell collects 100 and enters into a 100% quota share with a member. That money, fully collateralized, that money would flow into the member, and the member would put this in his FAL accounts, which he runs with Lloyd's. Yeah, in our rule book, the investor within certain limits, but the limits are really so big you can drive a tank through it, yeah, can invest as he likes the funds at Lloyd's. Right? So now you can keep that in UK government bonds or US government bonds, get basically real return zero or very, very close to zero real return after inflation, or you want to follow alternative asset strategies or real asset strategies. Yeah, and you can do so. Yeah, if you go above certain limits, you need to give us a little bit more risk capital, but not much. But the key question then is, if something happens, how do you then create the cash calls, or how do you fund the cash calls? And that was always a problem with the fungibility. Now, let's say you would do that and you would invest in our alternative, in our private credit fund, you could then basically give your participation right of this credit fund into the PTF. Yeah? And when the reinsurance came in, yeah, then you get it out again. And yes, that's basically how that works. Yeah, and it's the open-end fund structure. You can liquidate, you can go out there, but I think it just gives you an opportunity to enjoy much better investment returns than you have at the moment.
Absolutely. I know it's an interesting prospect for investors who might want to look at some sort of yield enhancement on the deployment of their capital. Any plans at Lloyd's to expand on or look at the central fund transaction that you did that brought in sources of third-party capital?
You mean the central fund insurance?
Yes.
I love the central fund insurance, but it still goes on for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I don't think we will not renew that. So you can be damn sure that we maintain that. And you also have heard that AM Best now finally gave us a positive outlook.
Yes.
Yeah. And let's see what S&P is doing. But they all like the central fund. That's the reason why this is really important, that we maintain that level of capital. And the capital looks in the moment very, very high, admittedly, so it's above 400%. The reason for that is it's quite simple. We haven't de-risked our investments so far, so investment take off a little bit. And then our subordinated debt structures, they come to an end of life. Yeah, so the first tranche retires in 24. And in the moment, I don't think I will renew them.
Right.
Yeah. So we will do capital management, but in a very modest way, because I think the most important point you can have is enough capital. Yeah, that you can basically withstand any shock in the market from the capital perspective. And
sure.
That is basically why I think you can't have enough capital. I'm pretty much. I think also Berkshire Hathaway is right. If you are the strongest capital provider in the world, you can ask for premiums in your underwriting, and that's basically what I would like to do.
Sure, makes sense. So I guess finally, going back to London Bridge 2 and the fact that you're utilising the UK ILS regulatory regime, is there anything additional in terms of regulatory changes that you would like to see over the coming years to make using that structure more sort of frictionless?
So I just hope, and that's not a promise, but I do hope that the new Solvency II risk margin framework from the PIA will get approved legally by end of the year. And then let's see whether the capital requirements at Lloyd's will enjoy this benefit as well. And I would not see any reasons why they wouldn't. So I think that is one change in the regime. So it's not a big change, but it is something small. But mm-hmm. I think it is people will enjoy it. And then, quite frankly, you know Des quite well, you know me. We are really doing what we hear people want us to do. Yeah, and I think that is really our objective. When we hear something which makes sense, which is not exposing the central fund, we will pick it up like we did in the last 4 or 5 years. So, and the only thing which is not really relevant for the investors, maybe only indirectly, but I call 2023 the year of the managing agencies, where we really try to make it easier to deal with Lloyd's. Yeah. And we are not easy to deal with.
Well, that's very positive, because I'm sure the ILS market likes to deal with people that are easy to work with. Yeah. And it's great to hear that you're seeing success and additional traction.
So, we will be tough on capital, tough on underwriting. But what I mean with this is the whole bureaucracy around this. Yeah, so we are looking at all our processes to really identify what do we really need to do and what is basically still left over from old days which nobody took out. So that's basically what we're doing at the moment, and hopefully that will have good impact on everybody who's dealing with us.
Great. Thank you very much, Burkhard. Please put your hands together for Burkhard Kiess.
Thank you.